You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning, I'm Luis Sainz, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is Dr. Yolanda Leyva. Dr. Leyva is the chair of the History Department here on campus, and she's here to talk about an event that's going to be taking place tomorrow, but also another ongoing event here on campus, but some great news also that she literally just received before we went on the air. Thank you very much for being with us here today, Dr.
Leyva. Thank you so much for having me here.
Well, first of all, with the History Department, you have come together and you've put together a museum.
Museo Urbano is the name of the project, and it's a project that's been ongoing for about 3 years now. It's part of the Department of History's Public History Project. We train undergraduate students, master students, and doctoral students how to present history to the public. How do you present interesting, challenging, innovative historical content outside of the classroom? It's something that is more and more valuable to our students because of the job market. They can get jobs in museums. They can get jobs as archivists. So this is the beginning of training them to look at history in different ways.
When people think of history, they think of it like, oh my gosh, school, education, dates, certain names of documents, etc. When you talk about like storytelling or talk about the past, folklore and stuff like that, it sounds a little bit more interesting. And when you put it in front of them, like you guys have, it's like, wow, this is history. I'm learning and I'm enjoying myself. And when you put it that way, it makes it a little bit more palatable. Now, of course, you and I love history.
Right.
But the fact that if it's presented to them in a different way, then it's not so bad. It's almost like when you're giving a child food and they mix it up with something, whatever.
Right. I see it in many of the classrooms where students in the required history classes say, oh, history is very boring. I don't like it. But it's because history hasn't been presented to them in a way that resonates with them, that connects them to their own families, to their communities. And that's part of what the History Department is very good at doing, is connecting this particular place, the U.S.-Mexico border, to the lives of our students and then to the academic scholarly world of borderlands history.
Now, we were going to talk a little bit about an event that's happening tomorrow, but I think because you just mentioned borderland history, we'll wait a little bit on that and we'll go ahead and tell them the good news that you literally brought in here before we went on the air. And not only did you present borderland history to the community here in the area, but it's received national, international recognition.
We just got fantastic news that Museo Urbano has been awarded the 2013 Outstanding Public History Award nationally by the premier organization of public historians, the National Council on Public History. And we're very excited. They told us that we could serve as a model for other communities, especially communities that were struggling economically, where the project might not have too much money. And that idea of our serving as a model is very exciting to us because this department is very forward-looking, and we try to figure out how to do things creatively, especially when there's a lack of funding. So we'll be receiving that award in Ottawa, Canada in April, and it's a great recognition for the work of many, many students, faculty members, archivists here on campus and at libraries across town, of musicians, of artists, of community activists and nonprofits. It's a huge collaboration that really has linked the university, the Department of History, and community members.
Well, congratulations.
Thank
again.
You.
And for people who have not seen the area of the exhibit, can you kind of maybe tease them or walk them through it a little bit so they can get a taste of it?
The museum that we had in El Segundo Barrio in South El Paso existed in 2011 and 2012, and we lost that space. That is an amazing neighborhood, and many of our exhibits have focused on that neighborhood. It's one of the oldest neighborhoods in El Paso. It is, to me, as a historian of Mexican-American history, one of the most significant neighborhoods in the history of Mexican people in the United States. It is a neighborhood that has struggled a lot with poverty, with neglect. It's part of, if not the poorest, one of the poorest zip codes in the United States. And it's a neighborhood that out of all of that adversity has created incredible talent, culture. We have, for example, the first million-selling album by a Latino in the 1940s was by a musician composer named Edmundo Tostado, who grew up on South Oregon. He went by the name Don Tosti, because in the 40s you couldn't be Edmundo Tostado. His song was called Pachuco Boogie, and it sold a million albums. So we have incredible musicians, writers, professional people like lawyers coming out of El Segundo Barrio. And Museo Urbano came out of working with the community of El Segundo Barrio to really highlight and to uncover that history.
But then for a while there, you also had something at the Centennial Museum as well, correct, where they could...
We've had a couple of exhibits at the History Museum downtown with the city, and we currently have an exhibit at the Archaeology Museum.
Excuse me. Yes, okay. Now, tomorrow, as I mentioned, something is going to be happening of significance as well, and you want to share it with us?
Through a grant from Humanities Texas, we were able to continue a project that we started a few years ago, and we're calling it The Mexican Revolution and Beyond, The History of South El Paso. And in this project, we put historical photos on the outsides of buildings so that pedestrians walking by can look at the history, can connect the history to the very place where they're walking. We've had them in various places in South El Paso. The winds that we're about to experience in the next few days blew some of them away. But you can still see one on the old school building at Sacred Heart Church. And tomorrow we're going to be unveiling two new parts of this project at the Farm Worker Center on 9th and South Oregon.
Now, as far as books and information out there about El Segundo Barrio, there have been, I guess, a few, right? David Romo has done some stuff.
David Romo, who's the co-director of Museo Urbano, has Ringside Seat to a Revolution.
Great book.
It is a fantastic book. There have been books that talk about El Segundo, like in the 1980s, Mario Garcia, who was a historian from El Paso, wrote Desert Immigrants. In 2006 and 2007, the History Department put out some booklets for the community. They're for the popular reading audience about the history of El Segundo. And on the event tomorrow, we'll be handing out the newest historical book. It's bilingual, and it's about the history of the Farm Worker Center, which is celebrating its 30th anniversary tomorrow of the Sin Fronteras organizing project. It has a section on the Flores Magón brothers, who are one of the photos that we put on the building that you'll see tomorrow, and also a little bit about Museo Urbano.
You mentioned the Farm Workers Center there. People may not realize, especially some of the younger people, the fact that before this was built, these farm workers literally just slept out on the sidewalk, out on the street, waiting for the recruiters to come by, and so hopefully they would get a job.
That's exactly right. Prior to the center being built in the 90s, farm workers would sleep, as you said, literally on the streets, waiting to be picked up by buses at 2, 3, 4 in the morning to be taken to the fields to work. The center now provides shelter, meals. As importantly, it provides GED classes, English classes, and social services to farm workers and to their families.
And I'm not sure if people are familiar with this, but Edward R. Murrow, who used to do a special show on CBS, had a documentary that aired on Thanksgiving Day of all days called Harvest of Shame. And he highlighted not the farmer, but the farm worker and the persons responsible for putting our food on the table. He mentioned a little bit of the Bracero program, but he didn't mention a lot of Hispanics in that documentary, but a lot of African-Americans and white Anglo people from the Appalachia as well. And just shows you how hard these people do work.
It's incredibly hard work, backbreaking work, and dangerous work. Even though there's been a lot of emphasis put on the dangers of pesticides, farm workers and children are still being sprayed with the pesticides.
You have been very fortunate as the chair of the department in the fact that you've had some excellent students and graduate students who helped you with this Museo Urbano, and they put a lot of hard work into it, and they're intelligent, really sharp young people.
We've had about 30 students help us with Museo Urbano over the years, and as I said before, they range from undergraduates, from freshman students, to master's students, to doctoral students. And what I think ties them all together is, one, the love of history that you and I share, but also a desire to work with the community, not to teach the community its history, but to work with the community in order to create a shared vision of what our history is.
If people are interested in attending tomorrow's events, do they need to make reservations ahead of time? Or
tomorrow's events don't require reservations. We are having the event from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock, so people are free to drop by at any point. We're going to have two talks, one by Dr. Selfa Chu, who's going to talk about the history of workers in El Paso, another talk by David Romo talking about the Flores Magón brothers in El Paso. And for those of you who may not have heard of them before, the Flores Magón brothers were the leading intellectuals on the U.S.-Mexico border at the turn of the 20th century. And they were exiled from Mexico because of their activities to overthrow the dictatorship of Porfirio Díaz. They hid out in El Segundo Barrio and had a newspaper here. There was a women's newspaper here that was affiliated with them, that was edited and written by women journalists. So we'll have a talk on that. We're going to have music. We're going to have food. We're going to have a historical slideshow. So people are welcome to come anytime between 1 and 5 tomorrow afternoon.
The place that you're talking about right now, I mean, it played an important role, as you mentioned earlier, also in the fact that a lot of the revolutionary leaders from Mexico and here met and used El Segundo Barrio as some of the planning for the revolution.
It was definitely a hideout for revolutionary leaders. And if you look at the tenement building across the street from Sacred Heart Church, which is the oldest church for Spanish-speaking Catholics in the city, the tenement building across the street held a printing press where the first novel of the Mexican Revolution was actually written and published. So it was important in providing a place where leaders could hide out and plan military strategy, political strategy, where artists could write about the revolution. It has an amazing history. Almost every building in El Segundo has its story.
We want to thank you very much, Dr. Leopold, for being with us here today. And again, we want to congratulate you on getting the Outstanding Public History Project Award. And we're going to bring you back to talk a little bit more about that. But again, if you're interested, tomorrow from 1 to 5 at 201 East 9th Avenue, the corner of 9th and South Oregon Street, is where the celebration is going to start. And if you want more information, you can also go to the history website just by going to utep.edu and then look for the history department, and you can find additional information. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at KTP Studio, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Elvin Alvis. Thanks to our producer, Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.